How many of you guys are pastors or plan to be pastors or go to church? Anybody go to church? All right, great. All right. So part of my job as a pastor is I'm a numbers guy. And you say numbers. I don't look at where our financials are. I look at what's the return on our investment. When I'm taxing our people, when our people are being taxed, what are we getting out of it? And I know there's so many ministries out there that can tax our people. I can't even imagine what this does to Quentin Road. Like, to me, this is just, I mean, you see how many people are actively involved in this. I know they're used to that, but when you're in a small church, and it taxes people. We do a sportsman's banquet where we have 400 to 600 people come in. We give away guns and different things, and it's a tool to be able to reach people. We've actually just recently put that to the wayside because we looked at the return on our investment, and it wasn't very good with the amount of taxing that we were doing on our people. When I came into the ministry, funerals were one thing that I really did not like. How many of you guys like death? Anybody? It just kind of scares me, right? I'll never forget the first call that I got. Hey, my daughter died. She was actually a young lady. I was wondering if you could do her funeral. And I didn't sleep for 2 days. I was so nervous about it. But it's such an opportunity. I just want us to understand that it's such an opportunity. And it doesn't fit every ministry. Some things work, some things don't, right? How many of you guys have done a ministry and found out, hey, this is not it? We actually tried one 2 years ago from an idea here. A gentleman was here and he said that they did this room for police officers and first responders. And they would put pop and soda, different things in there, and the police officers would stop. And he said, what a ministry. And it was only like 80 miles from where we're at.
We actually have that.
Fantastic. And he said, it works. Yeah. And he said, it works, man. He said, we are reaching this community with the gospel. I mean, the police officers are loving it. He said, we have police officers in our church and firefighters and EMTs. And man, we tried it. What a dud. And that's okay.
Yeah.
So this may not work for you, but it worked. It works for us. How many of you have done funerals? A couple of you? You're probably more qualified to do this than I am. But I will tell you, we were very focused on reaching our community. Our county is 14,700 people, okay? So we don't come from a big area. I've done over 500 funerals in the last 10 years. How? We're the church of the community. So the very first day that I took the position at Eden, I had met with the board and they said, we really want to get into our community, but how do we do that? I gotta be honest, I had no clue. By default, I was in the office the first day and I got a phone call and they said, hey, the pastor that was supposed to do this funeral is sick. Would you come do it? I said, yeah, absolutely. Well, I didn't know that the family was atheist and it was just a weird deal. So I got in there and I'm going to do what I usually do. And I want us to keep this in mind. When the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, it means it. And we need to take that serious.
Yes.
I've been criticized in our community for giving the gospel when I do funerals. And I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather be judged by God than of man.
Amen.
And it has been a huge growth in our church because of it. So by default, I started to talk with the funeral director. And it was a lady. And I said, hey, you know, I literally the funeral home is from here to the end of the parking lot away. I said, if you need us, we're here. I said, we would love to help two young pastors. I said, but I want you to know something as well. If there is somebody that is going to die and you know of that, please call me. We would love to come and pray with them. And she said, oh, okay. All right, whatever. You know, kind of that blow off. All right, well, that's fine. Not a problem. I said, also, if somebody has passed away, and the family would like somebody to pray with them, let us know. She kind of blew us off. So in my mind, I thought, we have two funeral directors in our community. I said to my assistant pastor, I said, we're going to go and we're going to let the other one know as well. Maybe this is an inroad to our community. So I went and talked to him, and he is a believer, but he's also Catholic. He's also Mormon, by name only, okay? So I have had people say it doesn't work unless the funeral director is a believer. That's not true. Mm-hmm. But I want to tell you, when I told him this, I took it very serious. And so we had this big, deep conversation. I said, this is what we would like to do. The very first time he called me, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. And he said, hey, pastor, you said this. He said, would you be willing to go pray with this family? Absolutely. And if you're a pastor, you know those early morning calls. I said, absolutely. So got up, didn't brush my teeth. I should have. So chewing gum on the way there, and I prayed with this family. And this was the inroad that God had given us. That first funeral was a blessing. I was able to pray with this family when a three-year-old was passing away, going into glory. I got to hold the dad's hand, and I didn't realize how much that meant to him. And so it kind of opened up this whole thing with funerals. And I want us to remember that every funeral is a reminder that life is fragile. So being able to pray with these people, this is a loved one in their life that means something to them. And to be able to have the opportunity and privilege to be there with them is a privilege. So I want us to keep that in mind. And for the believer, death is not the end. It's the doorway to eternity. I've had hard ones. I'm not going to lie to you. There's been hard deaths. One that comes to mind is a 4 o'clock call in the morning. The funeral director said, Pastor Caleb, and like I said, he, by name only, he said, I can't do this call. Could you please come and pray with me? A five-year-old that his mom was on meth and they had gotten in a car accident. And this five-year-old was out of the door, dead. And I prayed with him. I got to pray with the first responders. I got to pray with the mother in a police car as she was on her way to jail. It just opened up this huge thing. And so I want us to understand that funerals are one of those tools that we can put in our toolbox that can be used to reach our community. It may not work for you, that's okay. But don't push that aside because we're afraid. I find most young pastors are afraid of funerals. They're just uncomfortable. Most laymen are afraid of funerals. There's been this stigma that there is a lot of traditions that need to be followed. I'm sure you've heard of the traditions. You know, you always stand at the head of the casket at the end of the funeral. You help the procession come out. I want to tell you something. There is those traditions, but I've never had anybody bring those up to me. They're more worried about how much you love them and what you say than what you do when it comes to that. And it's absolutely amazing. Funerals don't hinder ministry. They multiply it when we step into them with the gospel hope. Keep in mind, and I'm going to say this time and time again, when it says today is the day of salvation, today is the day of salvation. When I meet with families, the very first thing I tell them is I am here because there is hope. I am here because we have something that's absolutely vital in our lives. That's what keeps me going. When I do this service, the gospel will be presented. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Mm. And it opens up. You know, I've never had one person tell me no. I had a man one time, he wanted to play a song, Five Finger Death Punch. He says, can we do this song? And I said, well, let me ask you this. I said, would it glorify God? Because I said, I'm going to ask you not to put me in a position that we wouldn't do that. So it kind of changes the narrative, right? From I don't want it to don't put me in that position because my goal is to glorify God. And it changes everything. So he says, well, I don't care what you say. He said, but I don't want to talk about Jesus. I only want to talk about love. I said, well, I tell you what. I said, I want you to drive home, but without gas. He said, well, what do you mean by that? And I said, that's, if we're going to talk about love, we got to talk about Jesus. And it just, but we can do all of that in love. For those that criticize me for always giving the gospel, I've never found a time when I could not give the gospel. But if it's done the wrong way, it becomes offensive. We understand that. But you can always give it in love. Mm-hmm. Always. Always, always. I was asked one time to do a funeral with a different pastor, and he was going to be in charge of it. I mean, have you guys ever been in those positions? And you're like, okay, Lord, they don't believe like us. So we met together, and the family really wanted me because I had done their father's funeral. And the pastor said, so what are you going to say? I said, it's really simple. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Mm-hmm. He says, that sounds like the gospel. I said, that's all I'm going to say is the gospel. I'm going to give the gospel. He said, well, I don't like that. I said, then I don't do it. But if you would like, you could go tell the family. And it just, it changed everything. I always, always, always give the gospel. I don't know how many people have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We haven't kept track of those things. But I can tell you this, if you come to the community that we were just a part of, we cannot walk through the store without people coming up and saying, you did my dad's funeral, or you did my... And that was our goal. Probably half of the people in our church didn't go to church there until we did some type of a service for them. We're the church of the community. So don't back away from funerals. Don't be afraid to speak plainly about eternity with gentleness, yes, but with boldness. At a time of loss, truth can come in grace. The second thing is this: funerals bridge families, are built. Funerals build bridges with families. You may now not know the deceased well, but their family will never forget your kindness. I was called to a home where they had a whole bunch of chihuahuas. Okay? Anybody know what those chihuahuas are like? I walked in with the funeral director, all these dogs just, I mean, and I'm talking like 30 dogs going crazy. And I'm not a dog guy. I got to be honest. So I just got down and I was just petting them. And I said, wow, you got a lot of dogs. They're all so well behaved. We met with them, I prayed with them, left, and she came back, and we were talking. Her sister was with her, and she says, he's the dog guy. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not the dog guy. But just to be able to bridge those gaps, she now goes to our church, and she calls me the dog guy. But you can build so many relationships with families through funerals. I cannot tell you the amount of times that I've walked into a store and somebody will say, Pastor Caleb, and they give you a hug. And my wife's like, who is that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I know that I've done a service or something for them. And it really builds the bridges in your community. It's just being present can open that door. You can pray with them, cry with them, earn the right to speak life into them. It brings us to Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Weep with those that weep. And if you guys have any comments, speak up. I mean, tell me maybe what's worked with you. I'm going to go through what I do with the funeral directors and things like that and how that works. Yeah. How long have you been doing that? So I've been a pastor for 16 years. I was saying that at this church, I've been there 10 years. I've done over 500 services. I've had from... Muslims ask me to do services, Mormons, Hindus. I've had some interesting services, but my main goal is to give the gospel and to bring comfort to a family. That's why I keep saying, remember, today is the day of salvation. I always present the gospel, always make sure it's very clear, and I always give an opportunity to respond. I don't have them stand up. I don't have them come up. But I always say, I would like to pray for you. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up? I'd just like to pray for you. And it has absolutely been amazing. And so it has been such a blessing. But weep with those that weep. Sometimes the seed of the gospel is planted in a funeral and harvested years later in someone's salvation. I got a letter just before I left. So I'll kind of give you a backdrop. We're leaving. We just left the church that we were been a part of for 10 years. We're moving to the state of Wyoming. So I'm actually leaving the pastorate, moving into a position in a school, a Bible college. But just before I left, I got a letter from a gentleman that said, you did my dad's funeral. And I just wanted to tell you how much it meant to our family. They do not go to our church. They do not live in our community anymore. But just to be able to have that, and without being willing to be used in that faucet of ministry, we would have missed out. So I recommend, if you're a pastor, going and having that conversation with the funeral director. I'll tell you this, we had to put on a pastor of funerals and visitation because it grew so fast and so quick. So the other pastor, he did 30, I think 38 last year as well. But it took a lot off of me. But there's no other church in our community where the clear gospel is given. So as a board, we looked together and we said, what do we have to do? What would we rather do? Would we rather put a pastor on and make sure they get the clear gospel? Or would we rather have the Catholic Church do the service? What would we want? Yeah.
Do you do the services at the funeral home or at your church?
So, yes, that's a good question. We actually do both. Okay. We try really, really hard not to do too many at the church. We do have a criteria. If you're a member of the church or related to a member of our church, we'll do that. Yeah. Because otherwise, our church isn't as busy as this, but it is busy. I mean, we do have a small Christian school. We have different programs. We have homeschool co-ops. We have different things. So it's always being used. So there's a lot of organization that goes into changing, you know, schedules and different things. So most of ours are done at the funeral home. Yeah. What's become popular, I don't know about in your guys' area, is at the cemetery now. I don't like it because of the weather, especially in northern Michigan. It's not real kind for that. An important thing that I've found is follow-up after funerals. And I think a lot of pastors miss out on this. We want to write a letter, send a text. I'm going to tell you there's nothing better than being there in person. Nothing better than just putting your arm around somebody and saying, how you really doing? It doesn't have to be long. We got a little coffee shop there in our town. I always say, hey, you want to meet at the coffee shop? I'd love to buy coffee. Coffee there's still a buck, you know. So for a dollar, we'll sit down for a half hour. I'll pray with them, talk with them. A lot of times cry with them, put my arm around them. And it's amazing because everybody there is like, pastor's here. Could you give him the corner? Because they know what's going on. And that's what we wanted in our community to be known as, so that people would do that. I want you to know, though, that this type of ministry does cost. You say, what does it cost? It doesn't have to be money, but it will cost you time. Yeah. And that is a big deterrent for a lot of people. This past Thanksgiving, I was sitting down, literally just getting ready to sit down. The funeral director called and he said, hey, Caleb, where are you at? I said, sitting with the family for Thanksgiving dinner. He said, Joe died. The family asked if you would come. Absolutely. It will cost you. My wife was not thrilled. Okay. But she understands the big picture of it. Was able to lead Joe's wife to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Both of Joe's kids are saved now. So there is a cost, time, energy. I actually talked to the funeral director. When I talked to him, I said, I want you to do me a favor. I said, I don't want you to pay me anything. A lot of times there's honorariums. If you've ever done a funeral, you know, you get $100, $150. I said, I don't want to be paid. I said, I'd rather that go back to the family. There are some that can afford it, and that's fine. We lived in a very depressed area, and so just by that meant a lot for him. The other thing that I told him is, if I go and pray with a family of somebody and they're deceased, I said, I'll help you with the removal. What does that do? Well, not everybody's okay with that, right? But what does it do? Well, in Michigan, I don't know how it is in a lot of places, you have to have two people to do a body removal. So he has to pay somebody to come with him to do them, right? It saves the family a couple hundred dollars. I get to pray with them. I get to help them out. And he makes sure and tells them, because Pastor Caleb is here, I was able to do that. It's just another tool to be able to bless that family. Yeah.
So that's not just handled by the funeral home?
What's that?
Removal of the body?
Typically, but usually I will go with them. Okay. I literally will ride in there with them there, and he will, whatever's got to happen, I'll be with the family. We'll talk about what's going on. And then when I'm done talking with them, I'll go, we'll load the body up. It's sometimes people say it's morbid, but death is inevitable. Unless Christ returns, it's going to happen. I will be honest, there have been two that I'm like, nope, you got to get somebody else in here. I'm not a funeral director. I have not been trained for this. But typically, it's very, very simple. But it's just a ministry, and I get to be in those people's presence at some of the most critical times of their life. It was my brother's death that brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we can do a lot with that. But our sacrifice, we need to die to ourselves so others can live. Funeral may exhaust you, but it also awakens someone else to life. For those of you that have done funerals, funerals are exhausting. I always tell my wife, when I get home from a funeral, I am going to go to sleep. I'm taking a nap. They're exhausting, but I tell you, they are so worth it. And the way that they can increase your ministry is phenomenal.
Have you ever had anybody, because I've done, I don't know, 15 or 17 funerals, that's it. But anytime I always give gospel, and if somebody were to get upset, I only have done funerals for either members or like members' family.
Sure.
So if it's like, or someone that they knew and a member is who asked me to do it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So like if anybody were to get mad, I can say, oh, well, the person who asked me to do it, they would want me to say, make sure I share the gospel. Have you ever had someone that's not connected to your church?
Oh, yeah. And asked? Absolutely.
That's why when you say, I'm scared, I'm not, scared, but that would be my concern, is that someone who's not connected to the church would be like, that's my brother, and we didn't want, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, so I'll tell you this. I always make it absolutely clear with the family.
Right.
100% clear. I will be given the gospel, and I use that as given the gospel. This is what I'm going to say. He was a sinner in need of a savior. That savior was Jesus Christ. Now, I will never lie and say somebody's in heaven when I do not know. I will never, ever do that. But I've had people after a service come up and say, I can't believe you could give the gospel when you know they're in hell.
Yeah, I got you.
I said, well, can I ask you a question?
How do you know?
Well, how do you know? Or if they are in hell, what would they want me to tell you?
That's right.
And, I've never had anybody argue with me. I've had people upset that were not from the funeral that we were, the family or things like that. But I always make sure they know the family was okay with what we were saying.
Okay, so that's a thing ahead of time.
Absolutely.
And then they decide to use you or not.
Yes, so I can actually, I printed out some of these things in my time doing services. I used to always sit down with the family, and I still do, and I would ask them questions, and I would say, hey, were they saved? And it became a lot of work for me and for the funeral director. So the funeral director would meet with them. I would meet with them. They would tell him songs. They would tell me songs. Then we had to get together. So now I do it just with the funeral director and the family right there. But I give them a sheet, and I can pass this out to you.
Thank you.
If you're interested, if you don't do funerals, it's fine. Maybe you want to. And it answers a lot of the questions that I'm in need of, okay?
Thank you.
I always try to make sure and have some type of laughter at the service. Oh, look, did you get a different one than I gave? Is that the right one? I think so. But it answers questions. Yeah. There's nothing worse than going in and not knowing what you're walking into. Especially for me with military services, okay? You show up, you got everything, and I'll give you one of the ways that I lay it out. And they're like, hey, where's the 21-gun salute at? And you're like, that's a good question. Were they military? So if you look on this, was there military service? What's a funny memory? Were they saved? Did they go to church? I know. I want to know all of those things. Now this, when I meet with them, I give that to them right then. And I'll say, before you leave, could you fill this out? It doesn't have to be some in-depth question answer. But there have been too many services where they said, yeah, I'll get this back to you. And they don't. So you don't know what's going on. So you know what I have to do? I just give the gospel, which isn't bad, but I always try to make it as personable as I can. Because if I can't make it personable, I think we miss out on a lot. I went to a service one time. This is no lie. It was for a 2-year-old that had passed away. The pastor, all he did was read scripture. Now, is there anything wrong with that? Scripture's good, right? Some of the verses he read was really good. But the family wasn't comforted at all because there was nothing in there about who it was for. And so that's pretty tough, but I'll always give the gospel. Don't resent funeral calls. Receive them as divine appointments. Use them. Just as people use so many things. What works in your church? You said the first responder thing. What works in your church? What are you doing to reach people? We do vacation Bible school, right? We try to get these kids. It works. I can tell you something. This works for us. And we consider what God is doing through funerals a divine appointment. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it does put some things. If they're a member of our church or a family member of somebody in our church, we'll even do a luncheon, a free luncheon for them. Our people love doing it. And to be quite honest, we've got it to a point where it doesn't tax our people. Because I, as a pastor, I want to make sure that our people aren't overtaxed. Because I have the ability to do that. Hey, I need your help with this. I need your help with this. I need your help with this. I need your. And this is something that we've just been able to really, really work through and use. But this, preach Jesus every single time. Every funeral message has to point to Jesus, has to give the gospel, has to remember today is the day of salvation. And I don't know about you, but I have to be honest, as long as I'm doing what scripture tells me, I don't care what anybody else says. I really, really don't. When I've clarified it with the family, they know what's going to happen. And like I said, I've never had anybody not want me to do their service. Yeah. I don't care what the outside says. Yeah. Because when I stand before God, he's going to say, hey, what is it? What'd you do? And I made it clear. And you'll always have naysayers, especially in the pastorate. You know that. There's just people that just, you could give them a cord of gold and they'd say, why isn't it silver, right? But that's not what we're there for. We're here to give the gospel. Every funeral message got a point to Jesus. John 11:25, I'm the resurrection of the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Offer hope, offer comfort, but make sure you always offer Jesus Christ. So dying for the gospel, it's always worth it. It's not always easy. Every casket reminds us that life is short. And that is one of the things that I usually try to do. How many of you guys understand the brevity of life? The funeral is a perfect time to use that. Yep. I mean, it really is a perfect time. I'll tell you this. I've done a lot of young people services, and it's becoming more prevalent. especially as drugs in our area are increasing. And so that has been a big inroad to say, you know, we don't know when our time is. The brevity of life is real. Life is short. Don't leave here today without knowing who Jesus Christ is and that you're bound for heaven. So there's all these little tools, little things that you can do. So that's what it does. Every casket reminds us life is short, but every funeral gives us a chance to proclaim the gospel that brings eternal life. You may feel like you're dying inside sometimes, but if you die to self, it will be worth it. I want to hand you, I got a couple things here for you. Part of what really sold the funeral directors in our area is organization. The pastor that was before me, love him to death. He is actually the one now that does a lot of our funerals. He was very unorganized. When you would walk in, he'd walk in and he would write out his order of service. And we know in today's society and today, there's a lot of technology that's involved. And so the guys in the sound booth are like, I don't know what to do. Like, and so I always make up one of these. It's got the order of service. I put everything that's going to be read in it. This is the obituary. This is one of the life forms that I always fill out. A couple of them, one from each family member. And then there was a tribute. And I give this to everybody that's involved in the service. Sound people, sound technicians, the funeral director, the assistant funeral director. Everybody has one of these. If there's people in the kitchen, they get one of these. And the reason is because then there's organization. The food will be ready if they know when the last song is there. The food will be ready if they know that when they're praying, there's a song afterwards. It gives everybody that heads up. And so every time I did, I'd give this to the funeral director. And finally, one day he said, you know, I got to be honest with you. This makes my life so much easier. And if you're at the funeral home, our current funeral director, plays the songs. So he will see when it's coming, what's going on. So if you want to look at that, that's fine. There's an order of service here. I always write who's going to do it. A lot of times our church has several pastors. And so you can see there's Pastor Al, Pastor Dan. There was always Pastor Matt. But I just made it. It's simple. You can take it. You can crinkle it up and throw it in the garbage. I don't care what you do with it. But it does make it easier for our funeral directors. And they absolutely positively love it. All right, any questions? Oh, I'm giving you the wrong one. Yes.
Number three, time of remembrance, family.
Yes.
I put an open mic if needed. Do you...
Absolutely.
Do you govern that, or not? Do you just let it go?
So I will tell you this. That is a great question. And actually, it's on the sheet. I cannot stand open mics. I really don't like them.
We quit doing them.
So to be honest with you, there was...
You never know what they're going to say.
You never know what they're going to say.
No.
And you don't know how long they're going to go.
Yeah.
I did a funeral for a pastor that in our area that had died. He drowned. His sister got up and started saying how horrible of a man he was. And it was like...
Oh, God.
So it put me in a precarious situation. So I literally went up and I said, thank you. And I just took it and I said, we're done with open mics. I've had families ask me, can we have people say stuff? And I always tell them this. You don't know what they're going to say. You don't know how long they're going to go. I recommend staying away from it. But there's been some that are like, we want it. We want it. So I tell them this. If that's something that you are absolutely 100% set on, we can do it. But I'm going to tell them, I will time them and they get 1 minute. Anything more than that throws the funeral off too much.
Yeah.
So if you have a memory that you would like to tell them, do it later at the lunch or at the graveside or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, as far as we will go, I discourage it.
Yep.
We don't forbid it. We want to be sensitive to the family, as you've talked about. But I discourage it. And if they're insistent on something, I'll say this. I'll try to meet them halfway. I'll say, how about this? How about if we'll say, okay, what we'll allow is you think of one word that describes that person.
Sure. Yep.
You remember them, one word that describes them. And you, and obviously they're not going to say one word. Most of them won't, but they may just say one sentence because they understand one word, that's all you're asking. But we had one where they were insistent. It was a big family, and they were insistent on getting up. And I'm thinking, I'm probably going to kick myself for doing this. Everything was fine until the one son got up and he went on. And,
yep.
And what he had to say was about his mom. She was a sweet lady, but she was a member of our church. But I, two or three times, started going like this, and then it seemed like he was wrapping it up.
Oh, yeah.
Start again. And so finally, I would just say, you know, you got to have this, you know, I mean, I just have to.
The other thing I do actually is in this. I'll say, instead of an open mic, you know some people want to say something. Why don't you have them type that up? And so that's what this is. And I will be the one to read through it and say it. that has worked very well.
Yeah, that's good. That's why.
Because, like you say, the funeral that I did with the pastor, it just, like you say, you get up, you're like, oh, what is going on? And you can see people cringing.
Yeah.
And that's not glorifying to God. That's confusion. There's hatred there with what was going on. And I had to stop it.
Yeah.
And it was very awkward. And afterwards, I had people say, thank you so much.
Yeah.
That puts you in a bad position. Yeah. When funerals can be such a useful tool for the gospel, you don't want that.
No.
So I always very highly, highly, highly discourage open mics, even for church people.
Yeah. We had the last one we had, actually it was interesting. We have people who follow us online, and this family from Kansas, their son who just came back from the military, a few months after that, he committed suicide.
Mm.
And they love our ministry, and so they actually called me and said, would you come to Kansas City, actually, it was south of Kansas City, to do his funeral. And I went down, and I did it. But what they did, which I was okay with that, is they said, how about this, if we just said, because I told them, I said, you know, you really don't want everybody getting up and saying things and all that, especially under those circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Said, well, what about if we have, like, one thing, and I will read it on behalf of the family.
Yep.
And I said, okay, let me see it and all that. And they did, they cooperated, and it was beautiful.
Sure.
It worked great, but it was controlled. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, so you've got to be in control of the service.
Yeah.
When we have open mics, the other thing that I do is I make them come up. And the reason I do that is because then they're in my territory. You know, we used to have somebody go around, and so Joe's way in the back and he's upset. So he's in the back saying something, and I would have to go up. I don't want to do that. So if you can't come up, we're really sorry. Please share with the family afterwards. And it just takes things away. I have gained a lot of friends because of funeral. We've gained a lot of people in church because of funerals. We've had some really good laughs in funerals as well. And so use those as a time to just connect with people in your ministry. We had a really interesting one. The family was great. And I'll tell you this story. It stays here. No, it's not bad, but they're jokesters, right? And so they were carrying the casket to the cemetery, and they put the casket on the rollers on the top. Well, it was a really tall hill. And so they had like put blocks on the back. And as they did that, they didn't realize, but there's a stopper on the back of it. And so as the casket came up, it just went right off. And down the hill it went. And in my mind, I thought, oh no, what are we going to do? They all started laughing. They said, Joe would have wanted that, or I forget his name. And so they go down the hill, they pick the casket up, they bring it back up, and the joke was, make sure that thing's put there because he wouldn't want two rides, you know? And so every time I see that family, they're like, hey, you remember that time? And it just, it has opened up this door. And it's really, really neat. Anybody have anything? Yeah.
After you communicate that you're awesome, like presenting the clear gospel, do you have a lot of people that opt to just like go and find someone else?
I've never had anybody.
No, not even like any atheists or any
never.
Muslims or Indians? Or
never. Ever. I've done funerals for, like I say, Hindus, Muslims, Mormons, Catholics. I was able to lead a Muslim to the Lord because literally through this one that passed away, we were at the, and he's a friend of mine. He calls me Father Caleb. He can't get over that. And he's got that accent, Father Caleb. He calls me all the time. I've never had anybody ever. As long as I think you make it very clear what you're doing, it's a time of hope, and everybody wants hope, no matter what, whether you're Muslim, Hindu, Mormon, any of that. If you're trying to grow your ministry, get to the local funeral director. Maybe you say, well, he's in the next town over. I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter. Get over there. Have that conversation with them. If that's a ministry that you really want to do. Like I said, we had to put a guy on. That's okay. But we are getting the gospel to our community. You go anywhere, and everybody knows Eden Bible Church, and the pastors do the funerals in our community.